Madam Speaker, it's a good bill.
Frankly, I'm embarrassed.
The President of the Senate called a hot mess.
Ole Insider is an educational journey through the Washington State Legislature, following interesting and important bills through the legislative process.
This is a serious matter, Mr. Speaker. We're moving the wrong direction here.
Ole Insider is produced by Positive Intentions Media, hosted by citizen volunteers Erica Engelhart and Jay Fratt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, rising in support.
And it's the right thing to do.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Ole Insider. This is Erica Engelhart. I'm here with Jay Fratt.
Hi.
So everything is kind of going really quickly right now. Jay had spent a lot of time down at the Capitol, so we're going to hear from him. But we did just pass another deadline, which was the opposite House cutoff. And then coming up here on the 12th, we have signed eyes, so it's supposed to kind of all wrap up here. This is the shorter session of the two. Last year, we had a longer session. So, you know, everything's probably going to be going really quick this week. Jay, tell me a little bit about your week last week.
All right. Well, first off, you know, this is an educational podcast, and we talk to the insiders. We've gotten inside access, but 2 years in a row now, I've been told that the session is all about the budget, And then what I have witnessed, and I want to pass on to everybody else, whether you're a future activist, future participant in legislation, I'm telling you, these policy bills take up a majority of the session, regardless of whether legislators think it's going to be all about the budget. And so Friday at 5 p.m. was essentially that cutoff for policy bills by that opposite House cutoff at 5 p.m.
Perfect. So you were down at the Capitol on Thursday night. It was a late night. There was a lot of stuff going on, a lot of bills on the floor. You told me that there were a couple bills that died.
Okay. Well, kind of. So Thursday was key. This was the showdown. So it all centered on SB 5974. That is the one that puts requirements on people who are eligible to run for elected office as sheriff, and then also created this commission, or excuse me, this board that could get rid of a sheriff. So this was a very hot topic. Sheriff Keith Swank in Pierce County has been a very vocal opponent to this piece of legislation. However, it's important that everybody knows, you know, 38 out of 39 county sheriffs were opposed to this piece of legislation. The only one who wasn't was not an elected sheriff in King County. They appoint their sheriff. So this was a hot bill. And this is where the minority has tools of resistance. And so they started debating 5974 at 5 p.m. on Thursday. I arrived at the Capitol to participate, to watch, probably around just before 10 p.m. They were barely through, they were only through the first tranche of amendments that the Republicans were running. So the strategy was they had over 40 amendments to 5974, and remember or understand that you can't just throw out any amendment. It has to be in proper working order related to the bill. The Republicans also required a roll call vote on each amendment proposed, meaning the legislators had to be there, they had to sign in, their votes were known on each amendment, including audible votes. So they had to be on the floor. They had to go through each amendment. They would have to list off all of the legislators and how they were voting. So the point of this is, for each amendment, they estimated around 20 minutes of time would be taken. So when I arrived down there at the Capitol, we still had, the Republicans still had enough amendments to take the debate on 5974 into 9 a.m., 10 a.m. Friday.
Oh, my goodness.
That's correct. So an all-night session could have occurred. Any questions at this point?
Yes. So now, had they done that, because, you know, there was the cutoff and everything also, had they done that, would it have, like, pushed other bills out? You know, that, you know, if they had kept going with it, would it mean that other bills wouldn't have been heard on the floor?
Exactly. That's the weapon. That is the weapon. That is the tool of resistance that the Republicans were putting forward in this debate on SB 5974. They were making it as painful as possible, but it's astute point by you, because it was all about that 5 p.m. cutoff on Friday. So if they take, till 9, 10 a.m., essentially going all night long through the night, that is going to hamper the amount of time that the legislature can use to put forth other bills. So I'll just get into it. So they were loaded. They were going through this process again from 5 p.m. till, I think it was around after midnight, that they stopped caucus. Negotiations were going on behind the scenes, because naturally the Democrats don't want to go all night debating this bill, and they're going to run out of time on other bills. So, but yet the Republicans, this is their only tool. Remember, Republicans don't have enough votes to vote anything down. They have to get Democrats to come on their side, and there's not enough Democrats to come on their side to vote down any bills. So essentially, Democrats can put through any bills that they want.
So the Republicans can stall, basically.
Yes, and that was the tactic. They can make it extremely painful and time-consuming to pass a bill. So, and then it's also very interesting. So I'm there. I was allowed to be a guest of the Republican caucus. So I was down on the floor in the wings with the legislators, and negotiations were going on. I can tell you there were some folks that were beat down. I mean, they were looking haggard. You know, they'd been debating this bill since 5 p.m. It's now just past midnight. And then the Democrats were kind of irate about the situation, and there was lots of childish behavior going on. I was sitting next to a gentleman when I was in the gallery when I first arrived, and he was a lobbyist that was in favor of 5974, and he was doing hand gestures and laughing, and it was just a real unprofessional scene on the floor. Lots of yelling when people were making their votes. Some might suggest that there was some drinking going on the other side of the House floor. I do not have any verification of that. It's only alleged, but there was some loose behavior, you might say, because people were upset. So,
Yes. What does the negotiating look like? How do you know there was negotiating going on there?
Because you could see Speaker of the House Lori Jenkins coming over to the Republican side. You could see Republican leader Chris Corey going over to the Democrat side. You could clearly see leadership convening behind the scenes in the wings. So the Republicans were there were Republicans on the floor that were ready to go till 9 a.m., 10 a.m. I'm thinking of Jim Walsh. I'm thinking of Joe McIntyre.
Sure.
I'm thinking of John Lee from Clark County. I'm thinking of Matt Marshall in the second. I saw in their eyes this was essentially their time. This was the only weapon they had. This was the only tool of resistance to the tyranny.
And they were prepared.
They were prepared, and they did a great job. Because keep in mind, each amendment, you get a certain amount of time to speak. All their speeches were very professional, very to the point of the amendments, arguing for it. Then they would exhaust that time, and then a vote would come. And time after time, it would get voted down. So finally, after midnight, the caucus, the floor paused for caucus. The Democrats all stayed out, and the Republicans went behind me in the wings into their caucus room to discuss the negotiations. It was at this point, I was ready. It was kind of exciting to be there because with this understanding that they could go till 9, 10 a.m., it was almost you were on the precipice of something historic, it seemed like. You know, this was a very valiant effort, over 40 amendments to this bill. And I think we still had 28 to go, and it was after midnight. So they come out. An agreement had been made, and I'm telling you, once that agreement was made, everything just ramped up. That roll call vote was taken away. They were able to vote via push button again. Amendments were withdrawn, and there were some amendments that were allowed through, but it went very quickly, and we were out of there. Boy, I think it was just past 1 a.m. that they finally finished that particular session.
So it was like they came to an agreement behind the scenes at first. The Republicans went to go discuss it, and then they kind of turned off all of their tools that they were using to drag it out. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes, yes. And so the next day when they started the session again at 9:30 a.m. on Friday, again with a 5 p.m. deadline, I spoke to a couple legislators who shall remain anonymous, but as a part of the negotiation, they were able to kill Bill 5906, that's the Washington State Creating Privacy Protections for Immigrant Communities Within the Lens of Early Childhood Learning Centers, and requiring judicial warrant for federal officers to enter early childhood learning centers. So that was 5906. 5984 was killed. That's the Washington State Creating a Regulatory System for AI Chatbots. And then Bill 1710, it would have given the governor right of approval for election or jurisdictional governance changes. So those bills were killed as a part of the negotiation. I was told that there were three bills that were allowed to go through, three Republican bills that were allowed to go through. They're good bills, but not really of that much importance. There's a personal rights AI bill by Republican, I don't know how to pronounce his name, it's Bonkey. Representative Dozier had a bill on refining school funding, and a bill by Senator Braun on car seat liability. So they were able to kill some bills, and they were able to pass some bills. Important for this podcast, because we've been covering SB 5068 for 2 years now, there was also a negotiating point made from that resistance, that overnight threat, that created an amendment for that particular bill as well. And before we get to that, Erica, can I share with you another insight from what went on the night before?
Yeah, please do, because this is very entertaining to me.
So I was there, I was watching, and when the Republicans came out of caucus, there were several Republicans that were upset, not upset that they were giving up this tool of resistance, not upset that they were stopping their overnight, I don't know
what you would call that.
Extravaganza. They were upset that it had taken this long. They were upset because they wanted to go home. They were upset about the process. And
I see.
I was a little upset. I was watching that. I'm not going to get out of pocket when I'm there as a guest of the caucus. However, it was interesting to see that there's a faction of Republicans that were willing to go all the way to the wall. And that's what's necessary when you're going to have tools of resistance. You have to have the wild cards that are willing to go all the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because otherwise it's just all for nothing, you know?
Yeah. But you could see there was physical pain in debating past 1 a.m. for both Republicans and Democrats. And that is the tool that they had. So I found it kind of interesting that some Republicans were a little upset about the tactic. However, it did work. Now, and any other questions?
No, but I do find that interesting because, you know, part of me wonders, well, what are you here for if you're not going to put up a fight, you know? But anyways, that's just my own personal opinion on that. But I wasn't there either, so it's hard for me to really understand fully. So anyways.
No, and I'm with you. I mean, if it's only once a year, it could be historical. If that's the way you clog the system to stop bad bills, that's what you're there to do. That's
yes.
what you are elected to do. You know, we all went to either overnight sleepovers or skate land adventures where it went all night. You know how tiring that can be as a child? Well, imagine being a boomer or in your 50s or even in your 40s having to go all night debating. It would have been a sight to see. I was committed to staying there. I was live on Twitter covering it. On X, excuse me. I had some video from the wings, and I was trying to encourage people to contact, to tag their representatives to encourage them, because it was a momentous moment in our legislature. Now, let's get to the meat and potatoes of a bill that we've been covering for 2 years now, 5608. Or 5068, excuse me. That's the bill that would allow temporary visa hiring in prosecutors, limited general law enforcement, firefighters. It would allow temporary visa hiring in those positions. So public positions, taxpayer funded, paid for positions, some with constitutional ability to limit your rights, meaning lethal force and or arrest rights. That's been going through for 2 years. We successfully, in an Oli Insider podcast, we were a part of killing that last year. I could see this year that things were different. And I would say that I didn't put up as much of a resistance. I saw some others that didn't. We had a friend of the show, Stephen Shutt. He went and testified when it was in committee. I had done some work. But you could see that this millionaire's tax and the budget was really taking a lot of the attention of the public. And so you could see this coming. And so 5068 was brought to the floor on Friday, and it was passed. Now, from this overnight tool of resistance that the Republicans put forward, they were able to get one amendment through on the bill. And it's an important amendment. The most egregious part of 5068 was law enforcement officers being able to hiring temporary visa foreign nationals, not U.S. citizens, that carried out constitutional lethal force, the ability to arrest, enforcing constitutional laws on the streets. That was so wrongheaded. They were able to create an amendment that took that part out, carved that one position out of the bill.
Okay, so it still stands for other positions potentially, but not law enforcement. Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
And this, there's a little bit of nuance here. I and some others have been going at it with Keith Swank today on X, because he points out that jailers, so Department of Corrections, corrections officers, he says, are limited law enforcement. They do carry guns. They do make arrests. But I think that in the nuance there, we're not talking about sheriff's department. We're not talking about city city police officers. We're not talking about Washington State Patrol. You and I covered this in Ole Insider earlier this year, that the King County Corrections had hired, they were in violation of law by what, like 40 people that were employed at the Department of Corrections in King County. They made an emergency order on this specifically for King County. So it's still bad, and this is what I'm trying to tell people: firefighters. So now we're going to allow foreign nationals to be hired to be firefighters? We don't have enough people in our communities that want to be employed and or volunteer firefighters. Now we're going to hire foreign nationals. There's the whole question of whether or not LNI is included in this, because remember, last year LNI was designated as limited authority. They changed it to, what's the term I'm looking for, junior prosecutors or some term like that. Sorry, I'm not getting the precision of words correct. So we have now allowed foreign nationals to be hired in some of the most crucial positions that are publicly funded in our system of governance. And at least through the Republicans' tools of resistance, they got the general law enforcement taken out of that bill.
So it's still bad, but it's not as bad, because law enforcement positions will still be, you know, for, is it for citizens or just legally authorized to work residents?
What do you mean? What, help me with your question.
So I guess I'm trying to understand. So it won't be for like a visa holders, right?
Yes. So the law won't change now for general law enforcement. So city, county, the only part that's considered law enforcement that will now allow foreign nationals to be hired on visa are Department of Corrections and corrections facilities.
Gotcha. Okay.
Which apparently in King County was needed greatly to have enough employees, which to me is, again, there are these problems with our society and our system of governance that are not being addressed when the Democrats just keep putting forth Band-Aids and patches, and it takes away from the general discussion that needs to take place. And I'm sorry it took me this long to get to the main point of this, is we are now allowing temporary visa hiring for firefighters, for prosecutors, for our jailers and our Department of Corrections employees. Where do we see the bills that are boosting the recruitment, that are incentivizing the hiring of Washingtonians and or Americans from out of state to come here and fill these jobs? That's what's bothering me, is I'm not seeing any legislation that's trying to get to the heart of the problem, and that is education and training and pathways for United States citizens to fill these roles.
Yeah, no, I completely hear you on that concern. I do agree with you, because instead of, you know, building up that program, they're just loosening the requirements, you know, so it's not really a fix.
Exactly.
There.
It's just like these budgets that are going on. And then in the future, if you're just coming along and you're participating in our governance, you're becoming an activist, and this show is helping educate you, I'm telling you, you're going to be told it's all about the budget in a legislative session. It is not. The policies come every session, and they're bad policies. And they're just like these budgetary policies, where the growth of government, it seems, is takes paramount, not the efficiency or accountability or transparency of government. They just want to continue growing the beast. That's through taxes. That's through more policies, like we discussed today.
You know, you hit on one of my biggest pet peeves, kind of things. So I am very efficient. I like to be very efficient in everything I do. The government, it's like they're allergic to efficiency, and it just kills me inside. So, you know, I really hear you on that point. And there was one other thing that you had just mentioned. So about the about, you know, killing the bills and you know, how we were talking about the Republicans have certain strategies, and I'm sure the Democrats have strategies as well. And I'm starting to wonder if some of these bills, like you said, that took up more of the public's attention, weren't designed to do that specifically so they could get other things through, you know, or if they, if they've, you know, tried that kind of thing in the past or this session, I don't know.
Yeah, there's all kinds of tactics, just like now we need to turn to a political tactic. There's a couple legislators, Democrat legislators, that are claimed to be champions of firefighters, and they get money from the firefighters' lobby, who, again, remember, the lobby was for 5068. Yeah. How many actually boots on the ground in the fire station firefighters are for 5068? How do they know that their lobby is lobbying for it? And now it turns to a political game. We have to let the citizens and the firefighter, the stakeholders where these representatives are elected, know to help get them out of there. For example, Representative Bernoski from the, I believe it's the 28th Legislative District, is a big firefighter guy, and he voted for this. So we need to make it painful. And unfortunately, and I'm telling the people that are here listening this long into the podcast, you're required. Like, there is a lot to do. Just in a few years, you can see where we've come from the Ole Insider podcast, just studying the legislature. We've killed bills. Imagine if we had more people participating at this level.
Yeah.
What we could get done. And then to turn that forward from not just covering the legislature, but then getting involved politically as well to help good candidates defeat bad candidates. That's what it's going to take to turn our state around. And then, earlier I mentioned I witnessed a Republican lawmaker that wasn't down for the fight all night. Well, I'm networked enough in the state that I know people that are from their legislative district, and I'm going to make sure to call some of the leaders in the party in their legislative district and let them know my eyewitness testimony. And because, again, it's not just replacing bad Democrats with Republicans, but maybe also upgrading our Republican electeds as well.
Yeah, the ones that are going to put up the fight when we need them to.
Correct, correct. More Matt Marshalls, more Jim Walsh's are needed in our legislature.
I would agree with you there.
All right, that's it. Thanks for allowing me to tell the story. It was pretty cool to be there Thursday night. I had just won a pinball tournament. I was instead of going out, instead of doing that, I headed over to the legislature. And to be honest, I didn't know what was going down, so it was really cool timing. And I was invited down to the wings. I got to witness, you know, how tired people were after 6 hours of debating, and understand the process and what was going through. So it was truly insider access that we got for our podcast and for the listeners. It was kind of exciting.
It sounds very exciting, and congratulations on the pinball also. But we all do appreciate you going down and sharing that story with us. I really enjoyed it. I wish I was there. You know, I kind of was when I was listening, I was like, oh man, I should have been there too. But I'm really glad that you were there and you got to share it with us.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we'll see what the next show is. But for now, I guess we're signing off.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Peace.
Let us take a step back and let us reason together.
The legislative process can be intimidating. Let's go through it together.
If you could focus on the policy and not motives, please proceed.
Like and subscribe to Ole Insider on your favorite podcasting app. All resources and show notes will be available for each episode at oleinsider.com.
Mr. Speaker, I've stood up on the House floor repeatedly this year.
You can follow Erica Engelhart on X at For the Good, Jay Fratt on X at Jay Fratt, and Positive Intentions Media on X at PubSec Media.
It is our duty.
I really want to say thank you.